Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
As we think about our lives as Christians, oftentimes we say that we are to govern our lives or to pattern our lives after the New Testament church. And that is true. And that we are to follow according to New Testament Christianity. And that too is true. But at the same time, as we think about the New Testament and all that it means and represents in our lives, we must also understand that there is great value in looking back to the Old Testament from time to time. In the book of Romans, chapter 15 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the saints at Rome, said, "Wherefore things written aforetime were written for our learning." In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11, as the Apostle Paul is writing to the saints at Corinth, he also says that the things that happened to Israel in that immediate context also serve as an example to us. And there are so many valuable lessons that we can gather as we consider Israel, that is God's chosen people, from the Old Testament Scripture, but also as we consider situations in regard to the people that God dealt with His people Israel from time to time. And then in like figure, as we would think about individuals. Tonight I want to talk about, in part, a man that the Bible identifies for our understanding as Othniel. He was a judge over God's people Israel. But as we think about this individual, I want us to see the way he typifies Jesus Christ our Lord. He is a type of our Savior. And it's most interesting as we consider the backdrop in regard to this man. We understand that he was a descendant of Caleb. And Caleb plays a very vital role in regard to God's plan to bring Jesus Christ into the world. The context that I want us to begin with tonight is from Numbers chapter 13, verses 1 through verse 33. And if you read from these verses, you're going to find that Moses chose 12 men to spy out the Promised Land. And the report that comes back in regard to these individuals is very interesting. There were 10 of the 12 who came back with a negative response. They saw an impossibility. They saw that they were outnumbered. They realized, as they were looking at it from a world view, from a physical point of view, not thinking how God would be with them, how that God factored into the equation, these individuals saw that they were going to be conquered if they were to try and to overtake the land. However, there were two who had a different take on this. They looked at the land of Canaan and they saw that indeed it was a land flowing with milk and honey, just as God had promised. And we learn in regard to the context as we read about these two individuals and their standing different is that he's speaking in reference to Joshua and Caleb. These men loved the Lord and these men trusted in God. They trusted that God had brought them this far and that God was not going to forsake them and that God was going to be with them. If He was bringing them to the land, He was going to bring them into the land. He was going to deliver on His promise. And Numbers 14 verses 24 through verse 38 help to depict this. God used these two servants not only to take the land at this moment, but God also allowed these two servants of His to outlive an entire generation. The Bible identifies to us concerning the children of Israel is that an entire generation journeyed or wandered, if you would, in the wilderness with no hopes of ever reaching the Promised Land. Why? Because they had a rebellious spirit against the will of God. Why? Because they were just like the other 10 spies who did not trust in the Lord. But Joshua and Caleb were two men who were very different, who loved the Lord, and who certainly placed 100% assurance in knowing that God was going to be with them. And therefore, we find is that God uses them, namely in the context of Joshua chapter 1, He uses Joshua as the main man to lead Israel on into the Promised Land. And God delivered upon His promise, as you read from the context of Joshua chapter 21, verses 1 and following, giving them the land and dividing the land amongst His people as He had stated He would do all the way back in the things that were stated through the book of Genesis chapter 32 and following. Friends, as we think in regard to these two individuals tonight, I want us to key in on, at least in part, Caleb. Caleb we find in regard to this individual is that he hailed from the tribe of Judah. And that is very significant as we think in regard to Caleb coming from the tribe of Judah. It is through Judah that Jesus Christ our Lord came. And therefore, it was essential for one from this tribe to place his trust and his dependence in the Lord. And when we think in regard to Caleb, we also need to think about Othniel. The Bible identifies to us as that Caleb was the uncle to Othniel. And therefore, as we think about Othniel and what we're going to think about him or talk about him, we need to understand that he was greatly influenced by Caleb. Caleb presented a situation in the book of Judges, chapter 1 and verse 12 and verse 13, and then later into the context we read about this man more, Othniel, in chapter 3, verses 7 through verse 10. As we think about the things that are stated with chapter 1 and verse 12 and verse 13, the situation is laid out, and Caleb identifies that one needs to step forward. And who is that one who comes forward, friends? It is Othniel. And that tells us, I believe, that he was influenced very greatly by his uncle. Doesn't that also tell us that we need to watch our lives and to understand that we are able to influence people from the left hand to the right hand? We're able to influence our family members and even friends and brothers and sisters in Christ and people that we really and truly don't know. Our lives mean so much in the example that we set forth. And I believe that certainly Caleb wanted to serve the Lord, but he wanted so much also for his descendants to follow according to the standards that he had led during his life, and that is to please God fervently. As we think about Othniel, the Bible identifies to us that he was truly a servant of Jehovah. The Bible begins a discussion of him in Judges chapter 3 and verse 7 by identifying that he was filled with the Spirit of the Lord. And therefore, as we think about him being filled with the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit was working upon him and through him and in him to accomplish God's will. He was not doing these things alone, but rather God selected him personally, and God was going to use him to the glory of his name and for the purpose of helping his people, Israel, during the situation, the trial of which they are in under the Mesopotamian leader who had brought them into oppression. Friends, as we think in regard to this man, he was a man that the Bible presents before us as one who is remembered for his courageous faith in the Lord. The leader of Mesopotamia, the king of Mesopotamia, had led Israel into oppression for some 8 years. Why were they led into oppression? The Scripture identifies to us is that the leaders in Israel, prior to Othniel, had led God's people to do all sorts of evil in the sight of the Lord, and therefore they were deserving of the punishment, if you would, that had become a part of their lives. But still at the same time, God wanted to follow through in keeping His promise that He would provide for them, that He would protect them, and that He would never forsake them, even though that they would turn their back on Him. And after 8 years of oppression, God was using that time frame to wake His people up in hopes that they would, in understanding why they were where they were at that given time, that now they would desire to follow according to the will of the Lord. And therefore, Othniel serves as the first cycle of judges who comes on the scene and judges Israel and brings them back into line in regard to what God expected them to do. Friends, as we think about Othniel, we need to understand that he was a man who demonstrated his faith in action. This king of Mesopotamia, he was very evil within himself. But the Bible tells us that because of Othniel's response in faith, we read that and we can deduce this from the context, is that the Lord delivered Cushan-Rithaim, king of Mesopotamia, into the hands of this man, into the hands of Othniel. And therefore, he was able to be victorious in defeating him. And the Bible identifies to us as a result of that, the land was able to rest for some 40 years, according to what we read in Joshua chapter 3 and verse 11. This man used his moment to deliver Israel. God set him up. And what I mean by that is that God had chosen him for this role to play. God had brought him into this situation knowing full well in his eternal understanding and will and operation exactly what would take place. God delivered him to that point, and then he expected Othniel to respond in faith. And that's exactly what we find this man doing. He used that moment to deliver God's people to the glory, not of Othniel, friends, but rather to the glory and honor of our God, Jehovah, of whom you and I bow ourselves before even this very night, and that we ought to praise every moment of our lives here. This man, as I said a moment ago, is from the tribe of Judah. Who else came from Judah? We know that Jesus Christ our Lord did. He is a type of Jesus. And to identify that he is from the tribe of Judah, Jesus this is, helps us to see that the Lord's lineage is in line with King David. And that's very important as you read back in the Old Testament Scripture in Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10 says the scepter, the throne, would not depart from Judah until the one to whom it would belong. And in the context there is an understanding that he was speaking in part to the rule and the reign of David. But friends, it did not ultimately belong to David, but rather to his descendants. And one would say, well, then it was David's children, that his sons, that it would have belonged to, in part, by all means, but in the ultimate scheme, as God is working out His plan, bringing forth Jesus Christ in the world, God wanted man to know then, and He still expects us to understand these facts today, is that the throne belonged to Jesus Christ. And even though there's a reference to David sitting or occupying that throne, it was not fulfilled until Jesus Christ, the Lion of God, would come and rule and walk upon the face of the earth and ultimately surrender His life for mankind. You see, as we think of what is stated here in the context, if you will read also, and I won't take the time to elaborate on it tonight due to our lack of time for television and such, but if you will read from the context of Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 through verse 9, you're going to see is that Christ is presented as the Lion of Judah. As well as in the same context, He's presented as the Lamb of God. And as we think in regard to Him being the Lamb of God, He is the sacrificial offering that God sent forth into this world, born of a woman, of a virgin, born under the law. But friends, as He walked upon the face of the earth, He came with a purpose. And that purpose, we know in part, was to do the will of God and to exclaim or to proclaim God before man, John chapter 1 and verse 18. But then in like figure, to die as a slain lamb on a cruel cross of Calvary, to deliver mankind, to give man a means of redemption through the shedding of His blood, conjoined with man's obedience unto the will of God. But friends, also, as we think not only about what is stated of Christ in Revelation chapter 5, verses 7 through 9, about Him being the Lamb, He's also, as we mentioned, presented as the Lion of Judah. What's under consideration there? As I think about Jesus being the Lion of Judah, my mind also began to consider another individual in Scripture that is presented as a lion, and that is Satan himself. Peter depicts him in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 8 and verse 9 as a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. And you and I need to be aware that Satan is real and that Satan roams to and fro upon the face of the earth, always looking to the ways in which you and I may not have our eyes fixed upon God. He may be looking for the weaknesses that he finds to be characteristic in our lives, and he's going to pounce on us like a lion would pounce upon its prey. And therefore, we need to always know, to keep in mind, that he is real and that he's out there lurking around every corner, and we've got to be vigilant. We've got to be on guard for these things. But friends, if we place our stock, our trust, if you would, in Jesus Christ our Lord, we can be victorious. Why? Because He is the Lion the Lamb and the Lion of God in the ultimate sense. He defeated Satan while He was here upon the face of the earth. Oh, Satan had his moments with Christ. We read in the book of Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through verse 10, where that he was tempted even in all points, as the Hebrew writer explains to us, as we are, but he was without sin. He stood face to face, if you would, with the devil himself. And Satan, no doubt, felt as if he was going to be able to be victorious when Jesus Christ died on the cross. But when Christ was resurrected from the grave by the power and the glory of God, He crushed the head of Satan. And you and I can trust that He still has that power and that desire, that ability to work in a very masterful, a magnificent way in our lives as we come in contact with the temptations that Satan lays before us. He is indeed the Lion of Judah, as God depicts Him through the Scripture. But also, as we think in regard to Jesus being the Lion of Judah, the Lion of God, as well as the slain Lamb. Friends, I want us to understand that as we have looked back into the Old Testament tonight, considered in part Caleb, but also Othniel, and we find the comparisons that God delivers for us, the types of the One who was become, Jesus Christ, from these individuals of old, is that God is telling us that He was working providentially all along for His plans in Jesus Christ. And all of these things then serve as a picture for us to come fast forward to in our lives to say, wow, look what the Lord was doing in order for you and me to have salvation in Jesus Christ and hope beyond this life of an eternal life in heaven with our God someday. The Lion of God, the Lion of Judah, Othniel served as a type of the Christ to come. He delivered His people, and today salvation and deliverance is only able to be attained through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if you're here tonight and you are not a part of the kingdom, we invite you with the Lord's invitation to put Christ on in baptism. If you are a Christian and you've strayed, we also invite you that we will pray with you and for you. If you're subject to the Lord's call, please come.